should I go one long session?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you awake? I have a story about the anointing in the afternoon. There's an anointing, a miracle in the afternoon. You know, I have a story. I was in Southwest India. We had a pastor's conference, about almost over 300 senior pastors came, and it was my first time in that area, in that region. They put the conference for 4 days, and we started in the morning, and started teaching. I said I'd choose a good solid teaching for, you know, just to set the conference from the beginning. And I looked at their faces. They were so like they're coming out from battles. They're discouraged. I mean, their faces, you know, if I say amen, nobody responds. And I said, I told them, are you breathing in there? They said, yeah, amen, amen. But I mean, looking at their faces, like they're beaten up. I mean, coming out from battles, I said, Lord, you know, we're going to have a 4 days like that. It will be a big trouble. The first 2 hours, and, you know, just try to get this going. And came the second session before lunch. I mean, it was like a battle to deliver the message. And I said, Lord, if this is we're going to stay for 4 days, this is the right time for the rapture to take place. I mean, I was exhausted. I said, how are we going to? I mean, they were so discouraged, and they don't know me. They're sitting like that and looking, you know, with that strange look, you know, and nobody's taking notes like you. So I said, okay, Lord, we sought the Lord, we prayed, and they went for lunch. They came after lunch, and I said, wow, half of them, they were sleeping. Literally, they were sleeping. I mean, I said, Lord, it cannot get worse than this. It was like something, it's like the pool of Bethesda. I felt like I'm in the pool of Bethesda. Everybody just sitting there for 38 years looking, you know, maybe this water will move. That was the situation. And the most boring story in the Bible is the story of the, you know, pool of Bethesda there. Look at John 5. I felt like I'm there. And while I was teaching in the afternoon, half of them asleep, the side door was pushed. And there were two male nurses carrying a sick man. I found out that he was a pastor and was dying of heart condition in the hospital. And he insisted on the hospital to come and to say goodbye to all the pastors before he dies. And he chose the conference. And there were two carrying him, and they sat him in front of me with the oxygen pipes in him. He was like a sick person. And I say, Lord, not only they're half of sleep, I'm watching him. Are you still breathing? I don't want him to die in the conference. We'll turn to funeral. It was like the whole time I was watching him. As long as he's breathing, I'm preaching. As long as so I was watching him, and those two nurses, they tried to check, you know, everything. I said, let's wrap up things so he can go say goodbye and leave. I don't want him to die in the conference. While I was there, and that pastor pulled all the tubes, just pulled them like that, and jumped in front of me like almost a meter high, and got there. He starts screaming in his language, Jesus touched me, Jesus healed me. He took off and he starts running in the whole sanctuary, interrupted my teaching, interrupted the meeting, and the Lord healed him. And so everybody got up. What's going on? Oh, God just touched him and healed him. And now they're awake. Can you pray for us, Pastor? God in the house, let's pray. And so we moved, stopped teaching. We moved laying on of hands, and God moved powerfully in the conference. I never had such a transformation of a conference in one meeting. So maybe today, this afternoon, maybe something will happen and we'll keep you awake. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about transition in your life. Transition is, the Bible said that we move from grace to grace, from power to power, from glory to glory. So the lifestyle of the Christian lifestyle is always going to be in transition. Don't ever think you're going to stop. You're always going to be, your church, your ministry, your life is going to be in transition if you want to grow in the Lord. If you want to mature in the Lord, if you want to fulfill God's plan, if you want to be transformed to the image of Christ, you have to accept the reality of spiritual transition in your life. It's not just a location. We're not talking about geographical location. We're talking about spiritual transition. God will bring shifting into your life. You will see yourself in a different reality, different level in the spirit. So how many here will say, Lord, I want to go where you want me to be? You have to accept this afternoon the concept of transition in the Bible. Every person God used, he had to take him out from his location, from his environment, put him in another environment, to transfer him to another, transition will take place in order to shape him and to form him in different culture. Now, our teaching is going to be based on the story of Joshua 1-7, Deuteronomy, the concept of transition in Paul's life in Philippians. These scriptures will base our teaching on this, how God brought the people out of Egypt, some stuck in the wilderness, but some made the transition to the promised land. And so many times we get people saved, we leave them in the wilderness, and they circle in the wilderness until they finish their life. They never really obtain the God's promises in their lives. Why? Because we don't disciple them. Every person we don't disciple, what will happen? He is saved, but he's circling in the wilderness. But if we disciple the converts, we help them to enter into the promised land. So the generation that responded to the word of God, God took them and made the transition into their life and enter the promised land. Now, I want to ask you a question. Are you advancing in your life? Are you moving forward? Are you being sustained? Or are you advancing in your life and ministry? You can be sustained. That's no problem. God will sustain you. But you can be sustained without advancing. God provided miracle after miracle for 40 years living in the wilderness. 40 years. I mean, they did not even change their clothes. They just one fit, one set for 40 years. Imagine that. They have good teeth. They have good health. Nobody was sick. God sustained them by supernatural power, but they never advanced in their lives. Are you hearing? Now, you want the blessing? I don't want the blessing without advancing. So many people just bless me and they stop there. When God blesses you, it's like an enhancement. He will encourage you to advance in your life. But you can be blessed without advancing in your walk with the Lord. Now, another question, are you surviving or thriving? Are you really just barely making it? I'm struggling to pray. I'm struggling to read the Bible. I'm struggling to everything. Struggle in your life. You just like you keep your head above the water the whole time. That's a survival. And I tell you, survival people will not last. You will not fulfill God's purposes. We need to thrive. We need to be successful. We need really to move into the significance of what God intended for our lives. Now, God said to the people in the wilderness, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. God said to the people in the wilderness, you have been circling around this mountain long enough. It's about time to break through. To advance in our walk. We have to make. That's why yesterday, this morning, God is doing a reset. Why he's doing a reset? So you can move with the transition that God intends for your life. Now, in our teaching today, it's a process. We want to enter the promised land, and we need to study this to understand the nature, the meaning. What does the meaning of transition, spiritual transition? It's all vivid in those stories in entering the promised land. God gives seasons of transition. He's in charge of the transition, not you. He will oversee the transition. He is with you. He's not going to tell you just go there. No, no, he will be with you. He will oversee the transition, and he will give that. He will be in charge of that transition. In your notes, just to help you this afternoon, we're going to go step by step about meaning, purpose, nature, and facts of transition. We will go point by point so we can understand how to operate and how to really move with the Lord. Now, transition means moving into a new spiritual level, direction, reality, mindset, and place of healing. Are you ready for this? I put them all in one point. That's what transition is all about. When God heals you, there's a transition taking place in your life. He's making advancement in your life. Now, when the Israelites entered the promised land, the new generation, imagine they were old generation, they did not believe to enter. Because of lack of faith, complaining, they stuck in the wilderness. The first generation died in the wilderness, except two. Caleb and Joshua, they believed that God will take them to the promised land. They embraced the transition. But I struggle to understand how Joshua and Caleb, they had to go 40 years with the people they don't believe to finish the route of 40 years in order to go into the promised land. It's like they did their term. They finished their time. 40 years, I don't belong here. Joshua and Caleb said, I belong there. I believe I'm going to enter, but I'm stuck with a bunch of people. They don't want to enter there. So sometimes we feel we're stuck with people. And because they want to circle all their life in there. Now, I want you to to see, even if this 40 years of circling, God even had compassion, has mercy over the people, but they did not enter, only two. So Joshua and Caleb, they really lived three generations. How many here desire to have extra generation? If you have a vision, you will own the future. I'll repeat this again. If you have a vision from the Lord, you will own the future. You will obtain another generation. God will give you an extension of years to serve the next generation. Hallelujah. Lord, give us Joshua and Caleb DNA so we can move and help the next generation. Now, when the new generation entered the promised land, it was entirely new environment, new conditions. No more cloud in the day, no pillar of fire at night, no water from the rock, no more manna in the, it's all different things. And now when God calls a transition, he's not going to repeat the past. He's not going to give you manna in the new territory. He's not going to feed you or cause you to drink from the rock in the wilderness. There will be, with the transition, a new reality, a new provision, a new food, a way of new dimension. I mean, they were circling in a desert. Now entering Israel, it's hilly and trees. And I mean, it was totally different environment. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you ready for the new reality? Are you ready to move from where you are to a place you've never gone before? You never experienced before. That's what I mean here by point number one, Moses' leadership will not survive in the promised land. You know, if we lead the people in the promised land with Moses' leadership, it will stagnate. You know, nothing will happen. That's why God said to Joshua, "Listen, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. I'm taking you inside with a new territory, with a new provision, with a new climate. Everything is going to be different. Now, when you accept the transition, you say, Lord, I'm willing to embrace any new things you're going to bring into my life. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. So, this afternoon, God wants to bring us to that place. Transition can be individual and can be corporate. The church always will be in transition. Every believer always will be in transition. You'll never stop. You're always moving with the Lord. When the Holy Spirit fills you and you start moving with God. Let's move to point number two, moving from Shittim, a place of preparation, to the promised land. It's good to know those locations in the Bible and the meaning of these locations. Now, before they crossed the Jordan River to enter the promised land, there was a place called Shittim, or the acacia grove place, where they cut the wood to build the tabernacle. The most hard, tough wood is the acacia wood. The acacia wood, nothing will spoil that wood whatsoever. It has it prevents all the insects to really invade that. It's so hard. And that's the place, was the last place in the wilderness, and from Shittim all the way to the promised land. Why the Bible speaks about this location so many times? If you come to visit me, I will take you there. I will take you to see that location. That place, Moses spoke to the next generation. That place, Moses reminded the new generation of God's covenant. That's the place where you will find the hardest wood. That's the place God wants to soften you. That's the place God wants to deal with your strongholds. That's the place is going to prepare you. That's the place where Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself because tomorrow God will show you and he will do miracles in your life. Now, in transition, God, before you make the transition, he's going to take you to a place called Shittim. That's the place where there is a spiritual preparation, reminding you with God's covenant, with God's provision, with fatherly heart of God. And that's the place that you start putting all the dots together, because God is about to release the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the place Joshua sent the spies, the last group of spies, from that place. They were sitting there, preparing themselves for transition. How many here this afternoon say, Lord, take me to that place and prepare me so I can make the transition so effectively? Hallelujah. It's like a station, spiritual station. Maybe today, the conference is a spiritual station. We are prepared. We are in Shittim here. We are getting ready. Sanctify ourselves. Being reminded of God's calling and God's plan for our lives. Now, the third point, we look into the third point here. It says, leaving the past to discover God's unique plan. Anybody would like to go to the promised land, you have to leave the wilderness. You have to make a decision to leave the past. So many of us, sometimes we cannot embrace the new because we're holding on the past. And you sit and visit with some people, they just tell you the stories of the past. You know, that look what they have done to me. Look what's happened to me. Look what this. God says, okay, why don't you just leave the wilderness? Let go of the wilderness. Otherwise, you will not discover what God's plan is for your life. Now, we have to let go of the wilderness. What was in the wilderness? Complaining. Unforgiveness, I mean, lack of faith, excuses, jealousy, competition, walking after the flesh, laziness, selfishness, greed, whatever, that's the wilderness lifestyle. How many here this afternoon say, Lord, deliver me from wilderness mentality? You cannot get into the promised land. You have to let go of the past. I've been wounded. God says, I know, but I have a new day for you. I have a new thing for you. God is offering new depth in the spirit. God is offering new opportunity. God is offering new blessing, new challenges. Comes if you accept to let go of the past. Let's move another one. I want to finish this teaching. Let's move another one. crossing the Jordan River to be transformed. These concepts here, it allows us to understand when God brings transition to our lives, we know there is a place of preparation. We know we have to let go of the past. But every transition leads you to the river. I'll repeat this again. Every transition, the Lord will lead you to cross a river. What is a river there? It's Jordan River. We know Jordan River is the lowest point in the whole world. I mean, geographically, Jordan is the lowest point. They don't sell gold there because it's way more than in the mountains because of the gravity. So Jordan River, is very significant to understand. If we want to make the transition, we have to come to the Jordan. Jordan is a place of making the decision, final decision. It's a place of determination. It's a place to say, not my will, but your will. It's a place that you humble yourself. It's a place that you accept the mission of the Father. You accept the plan of God. When Jesus came to start his ministry, where did he start his ministry? It was in the Jordan River. When he went to start his ministry, he went to and he lined up with the line of sinners. Everybody was lining up to be baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus stood in the line. When people looked at the line, oh, Jesus is, I'm sure he committed sin because that's the line of sinners. You know, this is a line that people confess their sins to be baptized by John the Baptist. Now, Jesus, by standing in the line of sinners, he was identifying himself with me. Not just that, by standing in the line of sinners, he's identifying with the plan of the Father. That's why the Father opened heaven and the Holy Spirit came down on him, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's the Jordan River. Every time you make a transition, heaven is open. The Father is pleased. That's the place that the Bible said he became sin for us, so we can become the righteousness of God. So Jordan, it's a volume of teaching about crossing Jordan, but Jordan, it has to do, when I cross that river, I'm transformed by the power of God. When I cross that river, I am burying the old and I'm rising to the new. Every time a transition takes place, that's where God takes us. You know, the disciples, God said to them, go to the upper room. What was the upper room? Jesus was leading the disciples to go to the river there. They have to cross the river. When the Holy Spirit fell on them, what happened? They start speaking in another tongue. They were transformed. And that's exactly every time we make a transition, we have to cross the river. We have to go through the river. That's where we are filled. That's where we see the confirmation of the Father. That's where we are dead to self and alive to the new vision. Hallelujah. Are you still want to go through transition? It's a place of commitment. It's a place that God, it's like the intersection, the major intersection. God says, I will know you there when you cross. I know your choices when you cross there. That's why I invite you, if you've never been baptized with water, come get baptized as soon as possible. Commit your life. Say, Lord, I want to make a decision to cross, to move with you. Let's move to another one, establishing spiritual legacy for generation to come. Joshua said to the priest, take 12 stones from the river. Take 12 stones and build them a monument, like memorial stones, stones that will remind the next generation of what God had done in your life. Let me say this. If we want to win the next generation, we have to make the transition today. We have to make a transition in order to win the next generation. If we don't make the transition, we're going to end up in the wilderness, and the new generation will be separation between us. So I encourage you today to really embrace what God is asking you to do. We are going to make history. That's what the whole thing. Cross the river. Take the stones and make history for the next generation. Tell them what God, what they will ask you. These stones will speak. Of course, river speaks of revival. River speaks of birthing new things, for teaching, direction, declaring the truth, and standing on it. We have to make transition to meet the needs of the next generation. Hallelujah. Every move of God, we see a birth of new songs. Every move of God, we see new miracles. Every move of God, we have new stories. All these like stones, we can tell the next generation, this is what God had done in our lives. How many here will say, yes, Lord, I want to make the transition to win the new generation. Let's take another point here. Number six is fighting the battle to possess inheritance. Every place you set your foot, it's going to be yours. Fight the battle to possess your inheritance. Oh, Pastor Andrew, we just tell us something easier than that. I need easy inheritance on a golden plate. You know, we are in a grace realm here. God will give everything free. Listen. Transition requires a battle. Transition, you have to fight the battle. You're not fighting the battle to produce victory. The victory, it's already done for you. You are fighting the battle from the place of victory. You're just declaring the victory. You're already victorious. You're not there to just win. You already won with Jesus. But why God doesn't give us something easy here? God says, I want soldiers. I want spiritual mighty men and women. You know, he gives us battles to fight, not because he wants to frustrate us, but he wants us really to grow and mature and become solid soldiers for Christ. Now, fighting the battle by faith, the Bible said, by faith, they conquer kingdoms. They obtain the promises. They fought the battle. Why we have to fight the battle for transition? Because every transition has its unknown, uncertain. I'm not sure. Leave your home and your clan and go. Where? He left not knowing where to go. How many here describe himself, I don't know. I don't know. He left not knowing the unknown, the uncertain, the unfamiliar. That's the battle we're going to step in faith. Lord, we trust you. You said to move, and I'm moving. I know you're going to meet me on the other side. So fighting the battle is lack of comfort, lack of convenience for me. Transition is, it's not something, it's messy. I repeat this word so you wake up this afternoon. Transition is messy. The river was full, above normal. I mean, everything is messy there. And when transition comes, you feel like I'm feeling everything falling apart. When I make a transition, it feels like everything is out of my control. I feel like life can end any moment. That's the battle we need to fight. The battle by faith we conquer kingdoms. How many here will say, Lord, give me faith to challenge the unknown? Number one. I have three to go. Give me faith to challenge the unknown. Secondly, Lord, give me faith to challenge the impossible. Oh, that's good. You can find those 4 points in Hebrews chapter 11, 8 to 16. Faith to challenge the unknown and faith to challenge the impossible. Number three, faith to challenge the lack of immediate results. Lord, I'm sold out. I'm waiting to see results. God says, I don't give you immediate results. That's the perseverance there. That's the challenge, to persevere. Even if you don't see results immediately, but you're still stepping and moving and moving until God give you the full picture, the full inheritance. What is the number four challenge? Faith to challenge. Let me put it this way. The desire to go back. To challenge the desire to go backwards to the desert. When the people left Egypt, they always complaining they want to go back to Egypt. Moses, this is a bad decision. Let's go back, you know. But you need faith to conquer the gravity of the world, the temptation of the world. Because when you are in transition, really, the world looks so tasty. The world looks so attractive to you, but you need faith to really conquer the gravity of the world. That's the battle. Fighting the battle to possess your inheritance. Let's move point number seven, revealing character and spiritual depth. Every transition reveals how depth you are, how much spiritual depth you have. It reveals who you are in transition. That's why it's good to go to Shittim and get a good foundation there before you make that transition into the promised land. Now, I know this season of challenge, God has many purposes behind that. One of them is He wants you to go back to the foundations and strengthen the foundations of your spiritual life. We know the story of Achan. Achan was like, the Lord told them not to take anything. Burn everything, destroy everything. But he had a lust for gold and money. He hid it, under his tent. And we know the story that jeopardized the entire nation because of one sinful person there. In transition, God will allow to reveal your condition. It will reveal what do you need. I hope he was able to repent before the judgment of God came on his life. Now, when Joseph received the vision from the Lord, immediately after that, transitions start happening. When he was sold to Egypt, his faith and his faithfulness was revealed there. In transition, the character, the foundation of your life will be surfaced. So Joseph, in the midst of betrayal, in the midst of wounds, in the midst of hurt, in the midst of all of this, he stayed faithful, and even his master, Potiphar, knew something about this young boy, that God is with him. I start knowing the Lord. God said to Joshua, listen, meditate on my word day and night. I want you to be close to me. I want you to stay in fellowship, in my presence. So transition, God intends that you draw closer to him. Now, in transition, let me tell you, God sometimes removes all securities from our lives. In transition, maybe brokenness will happen. Maybe stripping. God will strip us from everything. Maybe God will allow things to take place. And now why? Because when he takes everything away from us, the only secure place, the only secure thing is to run to him. And that's where we develop a deeper, intimate life with God. And I think the season that we've just passed is really telling us today how people, you know, everything was shaking. People are running to the Lord. People are praying more. Why people pray more when there is hardship? Why people pray less when there is no hardship? People really generate a lot of prayers because of this hardship. Now, the purpose of transition is to bring us to a place where we are closer to the Lord. Guiding us, point number 9, transition, God is guiding us without road signs. God said to Joshua, tell the people, they are entering a place they've never been before. There is no road sign, no GPS, nothing. You're just there. Why? Because I don't want you to depend on road signs. I want you to follow the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to follow my presence. How strong for you and me to be established in the guidance of the Holy Spirit and in his presence in our lives. So many people say, we need signs. I'm not against signs, but being a person that always seeks signs, that's not a foundational thing. Transition, always a new territory. No roads there. No signs there. But the Holy Spirit will guide us since you have not been this way before. How many believe in transition? God always speaks to us. When Joseph and Mary had the baby Jesus, and we know how many transitions took place from Nazareth to Bethlehem, from Bethlehem to Egypt, God was always speaking to Joseph, take the baby and go to Egypt. Don't worry, he will speak to you what you need to do, where to go. So he knows when you need to hear his voice. It's not the signs that makes you prophetic. What makes you prophetic is to move in the presence of God and in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I've been noticing and seeing a lot of people looking for signs, prophetic signs. I'm not against that. But I want to encourage you really to know his voice, to know his presence, to know how he guides you. You don't need signs. God is greater than signs. So in transition, no road signs. It's the Holy Spirit. Point number 10, positioning us for strategic kingdom ministry. Immediately, when Joshua took the people, immediately the first place he took them after conquering, he crossed the Jordan. He took them to a place called Gilgal. Gilgal was a center there, became a center. It was a center, a place where God renewed the covenant, where the word Gilgal means roll away. The disgrace. It's a word like that's where you are cleansed, sanctified, you are set apart. The new generation are really into a covenant with God in Gilgal. And Gilgal became the place where they launched all their battles in the promised land. How many here believe when we make a transition, God will give us a new strategy. He will give you a strategy of ministry, a strategy how to operate. We want the new, but our problem, we are in need of a strategy. Point number 11, understanding transition as a process, not impartation. Oh, we go back to the same principle there. It's a process. Sometimes we need everything in through impartation. Lay hands and give me this and give me that. And I'm not against impartation. We need to lay hands on people. Not in this season. But transition, it's a step by step. Why it's process? Because sometimes we have the new thing in our minds. We think new because God reveals it to us. We think new. God is showing us the new. But we act old. We think new, but our behaviors old. That's why as we take a process of transition, what's happening is there is a process of moving and establishing, equipping us, and changing our lives, and start operating in what God intended in the transition. Receiving a promise is joyful. When I receive a promise from God, man, that's a joyful time. But fulfilling the promise, it takes a process. Receiving a promise is very exciting, very joyful. But to fulfill it, it's a process, it's a journey to fulfill. So in transition, it's the same concept that we move. And now, point number 12, receiving the new commission. Every transition, there is a commission from God. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's not for your inheritance. It's about Him. Do you know why? Because you are His inheritance. You are His inheritance. So every transition, God releases a commission to us. How many here this afternoon says, Lord, I want to get hold of the new assignment, the new commission that you want me to fulfill? Hallelujah. You look like you need a break. Amen. We'll take just 10 minutes, then we'll come back and finish the teaching.